This is Jay Sekulow. A new report, the Taliban executes dozens of security forces despite promises of amnesty.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Sekulow. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
I hate to say that we predicted this, but we did, and I hate to say that it's happening, but it is, and that is Taliban forces in Afghanistan have started summarily executing or forcefully disappearing, as they call it, more than 100 former police and intelligence officers in just four provinces since taking over. Now, this is despite promises that they were not going to do this kind of activity. They were supposedly be getting safe letters from the government, the Taliban-led government. Instead, what's happening is when they showed up, they're being killed. Now, I say this because there's also an after-action review going on right now. This is a serious situation because it has affected our view globally on the world stage here. Now, Logan has just finished up a tremendous, was it 10-part?
Yeah, it's a
10-part documentary.
Yeah, it's a 10-episode series, docu-series that's available right now called Revenge of the Taliban. It features 10 full-length interviews. It's over 4 hours of content that you'll get. So instead of your typical, you know, 70-minute documentary or 90-minute documentary film, this is 4 hours of it separated amongst 10 episodes with some of the leading names right now in terms of not only news media but also historically. So you have, you know, guests going from John Ashcroft, who was there obviously at the very beginning of the war on terror, and then you have that go to people who were in Afghanistan. I'll give you the whole list here in a minute. I know we're running a little low on time, but right now on ACLJ.org, if you make any donation during the month of December, in your receipt, we'll have a link to watch this right now exclusively to those who support the work of the ACLJ. Again, that's at ACLJ.org. If you did donate already in the month of December, you will be getting that link as well. So don't think that you have to donate again. That email will be coming in the next 24 hours. Keep an eye out for it.
I've watched the whole series, folks. This is tremendous. The names, we could give some of the names. I mean, you gave some, John Ashcroft, Tulsi Gabbard, of course, yep. Mike Pompeo, Rick Grenell. You have congressmen.
Yeah, Representative Mike Waltz, John Ashcroft, as you said, Senator James Lankford from Oklahoma. We have Wes Smith. We have Nikki Haley on this. And these are
tremendous.
Not like, and they don't pop in. These are full-length interviews that we did with them specifically about the fallout of Afghanistan, maybe in some historical look at it. With Wes, well, you have a great interview that I don't think people have seen is really what your role was beyond what we see today here at the ACLJ. So your role in Dover.
Time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a significant part of American history for 20 years. And of course, part of my role was to completely redesign the casualty notification system for the entire Army, which had not been had not been looked at in 20 years. And then also, of course, my 3 years at Dover Air Force Base as a senior Army guy with casualty affairs and dealing with the families, which it brought the war up close and personal. And all of the mistakes that have been made since the withdrawal, it makes it more painful for those Gold Star families and for the veterans of that war. And so, yeah, the casualty affairs piece is a big part of this whole story of the successes and the failures in Afghanistan.
As you said, it's 10 episodes, and it's available right now. So if you make a donation right now, you're going to see some clips later in the show in a trailer. But right now, if you'd make that donation, just check your receipt. It will say, here's your exclusive link to watch Revenge of the Taliban, our new 10-part series. So you'll be able to watch it however long, how many times you want to. This is not a one-time stream. This is something you'll have access to. And it's a really interesting look into what's happened since August. We started producing it days after, essentially Afghanistan fell. And we were still actively doing it. So we talk a lot about things very much in the present, because we wanted to preserve this, and we want to preserve this emotion, because it's very easy to forget in a year, in 2 years, in 3 years, in 4 years, in 10 years, what it felt like this last 5 months since the horrible withdrawal in Afghanistan. Again, we got Republicans, Democrats, people in politics, and people not. So it's going to be a really interesting series. I hope you're going to enjoy it right now. You can find it again. If you make a donation, it's in your receipt.
You know, few organizations have the capability of putting something like this together. We do because of your support of the ACLJ. So as Logan said, during the Matching Challenge month of December, any donation to the ACLJ will give you exclusive access to our latest ACLJ series, Revenge of the Taliban, and also your gift is matched. So both. So we encourage you to go to ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
If you're just joining us, Taliban forces in Afghanistan, and this is unsurprising but really tragic, have been summarily executing or forcibly disappearing, that's the diplomatic term for removing, more than 100 former police and intelligence officers in just four provinces of Afghanistan. They're supposed to be giving them safe passage. That was part of the deal with the United States. None of that has happened. There's also an after-action report going on right now. And our global allies are also very concerned about this situation, and we have to be clear on something here. And I want to start with the analysis, Logan, first setting up that we have done a deep dive into this whole Afghanistan situation because we have global affiliates that are involved at the UN, at these international courts, at the international criminal courts. We've dealt with Afghanistan at the ICC. I mean, so this is not, we're not representing, defending American troops. So this is not some, you know, just commentary we're making here. So when we do a deep analysis, not just legally, but also when we do it via the media sources we have, it really does bring a lot of great information to light.
Yeah, and these interviews can only happen if we had the, like you said, the resources that we have here at the ACLJ. Look, you're going to get a myriad of views in this series. You're not necessarily going to get one defined version of what we should have done or shouldn't have done. You have 10 experts on this topic who all have lived through different experiences, and we even put that. You'll see a little disclaimer that says the views expressed are not necessarily those of the ACLJ because you have people who are in this, like Representative Waltz, who we'll play a clip from. Let's play a clip from him in just a minute. Representative Waltz, who's the first Green Beret to ever serve in Congress, who was there trying to track down Bo Bergdahl. You have him who is saying more of a, no, we should have stayed. We should not have pulled out. We should, no, this was a big mistake. And then on the counter side, you have someone like Tulsi Gabbard, who is in this, who said, we should have pulled out 10 years ago. But you have an interesting point of view from everybody. And again, many veterans who served who are in this piece. We also have, like I said, political officials. There's our people like Rick Grenell and Wes Smith. There's also Mike Pompeo, Nikki Haley, and a lot of people who, look, truthfully, if we're being honest, the next elections, next presidential elections, the next maybe two or three or four, maybe a lot in our lifetime because of the age of these people, these are some of the names you're going to be hearing about.
Yeah, 10 years from now.
10 years from now, whenever there are the next elections for Republicans and Democrats or independents, these are some of the people that you're going to be hearing from. So this is a great time to get them, and we got them on the record talking about things like Afghanistan, which I know has touched the hearts of a lot of people. Let's hear from Mike Waltz. Mike Waltz, again, is a congressman from Florida. He was also the first Green Beret to ever serve in Congress and is known, again, for his time in Afghanistan searching and hunting for Bo Bergdahl. And he certainly has his thoughts and views on this clip. He's going to just talk about his relationship with the Afghanistan, the people from Afghanistan. I think there's a lot of disconnect there. Mm-hmm. The people just assume that, you know, that it's the Middle East and they have preconceived notions. But let's hear from Mike Waltz. Again, this is from a new series, Revenge of the Taliban.
You brought up the people of Afghanistan that you dealt with, whether it's your interpreters, and now hearing these stories of these children, as a dad, as someone who you can connect with it. Maybe as someone who was there, is there a misconception? You know, we kind of paint Afghanistan as adversaries, but for the last 20 years, it seems like there's a lot of good people. We see these people running for their lives because they know what's coming. You've given them 20 years of freedom. Is that what you experienced? Did you experience that these people, these seemed like good people with good hearts?
Oh, absolutely. No, absolutely. The Afghan people are some of the most generous, heartwarming, entrepreneurial, but people that you'll ever come across. They're also survivalists, though. I mean, they're constantly making life and death decisions. So, you know, when we see them flip sides because the narrative out there is America abandoned you and the Taliban's going to win eventually, and the Taliban's sending a message, whether you're an Afghan army commander or a politician, and saying, join us or you and your family will be beheaded, and America's made it very clear they've left you high and dry, then, you know, people make those life and death decisions, and it's understandable. And on the Afghan army piece, where Biden keeps saying they won't fight.
Yeah, they keep getting blamed.
Yes, they gave them a lot of equipment over the years, absolutely. And there's a lot of accountability that needs to happen there. But at the same time, he set them up for failure. He pulled away their air support, their intelligence support, their logistics support, and all their maintenance support for their own equipment all at once.
What do you expect?
Pulled the rug out from under them at the height of the fighting season, and refused to send any air power back in or change, you know, when it clearly our assumptions were wrong, to kind of change course. And, you know, now we are where we are.
And that again is from Representative Waltz. That is just a 2-minute clip of with just him alone, a nearly half hour interview. Again, collectively, a 4-hour, 10-piece documentary series, again, called Revenge of the Taliban. And, you know, very few companies and organizations and production companies could get these kind of people to sit down with you, get it all edited, get it delivered to you in the time of since things have happened, since Afghanistan fell just a few months ago. So it's a really interesting look at recent history. You can even see when things are developing within where we are. And you'll even know some of the answers before we do because of when some of these interviews were taking place. I wanted to get these interviews when people's emotions were real and raw and we were seeing it all develop firsthand.
People that helped the United States are now being killed in Afghanistan because they helped the United States. Of course, the Taliban did not fulfill their obligations, but who in the world thought they would? But we're not alone in this in the United States, and I think this is important to understand. The United States and a group of Western countries have expressed their outrage on this, what the action will look like, but it was a joint statement that was issued over the weekend. We have an office in Strasbourg, France, the European Center for Law and Justice, which delves into all, I mean, like I said, we've appeared at the International Criminal Court at The Hague. Andy was with me in that case, co-counsel, defending U.S. military troops because of Afghanistan. So, I mean, this is, and then we're producing this documentary that Logan's team produced. So we're in it at a very, very deep level. But Andy, you were just in our European office, as we said yesterday.
Right.
But there is this consensus. What that consensus will actually mean, nobody knows.
Oh, we don't. Problem. I'm pleased to say that the 21 countries plus the European Union itself referred to the reports of abuses that had been documented by Human Rights Watch, where there were killings and disappearances of former Afghan members of the Afghan security forces. And, of course, the Afghan government denies this vehemently, saying this is a slander against. And listen to this, because I think this is an important statement. They call themselves, they're saying this is a slander against the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan. Well, we looked up the word emir before radio today to see just exactly what it meant. And it means a ruler. So it kind of presages. Language is important. Language is important. And you need to think about this and look at the text very carefully. What they're saying is we don't have an emir right now, but we're going to have an emir, which is the prelude to a caliphate, Jay. That's exactly what this is. But the joint statement says we will continue to measure the Taliban by their actions, which is important. Well, I want to see what you mean and do, not just what you say. What impressed me was the number of countries that entered into this joint statement. Usually the United States is not without is without allies and the support that and is needed, but it was Australia, Belgium, Bulgaria, Canada, Denmark, the EU, as I said, Finland, France, Germany, Japan, Netherlands, New Zealand, North Macedonia, Poland, Portugal, Romania, Spain, Sweden, the Swiss, the United Kingdom.
Which is very rare.
Rarely does Switzerland get involved. The UK, England, our closest ally in the world, the Ukraine, threatened by Putin, and the United States, Jay.
Yeah, I mean, this is, when you think about this. This goes back to the scope and nature of it. Now, Harry, we only got 2 minutes here, but I want to get you on this. We talked about this before we went on air, and that is on from a policy standpoint. You're our director of policy. You said a very dramatic statement is that the Biden administration, I'm reading it from what you said, botched just about every foreign policy decision they've made so far.
I think that's right. So the Biden administration has been very, very consistent in its willingness to demonstrate what? Its commitment to spinelessness. So while Afghanistan is our present focus, we should always remember that in 2014, the Obama-Biden National Security Team, which included Susan Rice and Jake Sullivan, in a show of support for the Ukrainian people, sent blankets to the Ukrainian government while leaving Russian aggression in Crimea without an answer. Now the Biden team, including National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan, is prepared to look the American people in the eye and proclaim that the United States is planning to do what? To up its game. How? By sending thicker blankets to the Ukrainian people. The Biden administration has botched virtually every foreign policy initiative that the United States has faced, from the catastrophic withdrawal of American troops in Afghanistan, leaving behind hundreds of Americans to the mercy of terrorists, controlled by Islamist jihadists, from exposing the Afghani people to starvation and child bride marriages, to summary executions.
Yeah.
So the Biden administration is an abject failure.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the child bride situation. Yeah. Horrible. We got some good news on one case.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll do that when we get back. If you're watching online, you're about to see a clip from Mike Pompeo from, again, the new docuseries, 10-episode docuseries, Revenge of the Taliban. Any donation you make the month of December, check your receipt. There will be a link to watch the whole series right there. It's really easy. You can watch it today. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
To Seculo again right now. We are talking about all that's happening in Afghanistan. If you're watching online on YouTube or Facebook, you just saw a piece of our interview in this 10-episode series with Mike Pompeo. Again, these are different kind of interviews than you're going to see anywhere else. We talked to you, Dad, about sort of the origins of the war on terror. We talked about the Patriot Act, which you know is controversial. We talked a lot about how that was implemented and what it means now. We talked about that as well with John Ashcroft, who was Attorney General at the time. So you have people who are at the who were there day one of the war on terror.
Yeah, no,
and then you have
great
people up until as recent as Mike Pompeo and Rick Grenell.
And Tulsi had just come back from a tour.
Yeah. Tulsi Gabbard. We should probably play a clip from Tulsi Gabbard. Yeah, in this, we were having a hard time getting in touch with her. She's been a friend to us and a friend of the show for a long time, and we thought she'd be a great person to interview, a veteran, also served her country, and obviously was a presidential candidate last time around.
I think I reached out to her. She said yes.
She said yes, and then it was we didn't really
hear
from her.
Radio silent for 2 weeks.
Well, that was because she was in the Horn of Africa, essentially fighting Al-Qaeda. So, you know, it was a pretty hardcore piece, and we talk about that in it. She is days back from that when we did our interview just a few weeks ago. But let's take a listen. Again, you're going to hear a bunch of different points of view. You may watch the interview with Tulsi and go, well, I agree with that portion, that portion. You may hear Waltz and say, I agree with that. Or Lankford, you know, Senator Lankford talks a lot about how Oklahoma is bringing in thousands of refugees and how they plan on bringing them in as Oklahomans, as they did with previous issues and previous problems around the world where they brought in, because they got the space to have thriving communities. And we talk about that. We'll tell you that clip first. But let's hear from Tulsi Gabbard. This is essentially saying, hey, you know, it's been 20 years of relative peace, and that's something not to laugh at.
You had 20 years of freedom for a lot of people, or relative freedom. You had women and children and religious minorities having at least some form of decent lives. And now the U.S. has to lead, knowing that, like you said, maybe this was propped up for failure to begin with, but with those 20 years and now all of these people who are, you know, escaping, trying to escape, or having to deal with a completely different world than they grew up in. Because much like us, who grew up in a world where everything was post, 9/11 for most of our adulthood, that goes for the same. And then for all of the kids, 20 years of kids who never knew any different. And I think that's hard. I mean, I think that is hard for the U.S. to figure out how to become that leader again when we've left such a mess for people who really were relying on us.
It is a hard reality to accept. And unless people are going to advocate for the United States government, American taxpayers, and the U.S. military to go and, occupy and run governments, essentially prop up governments in every country around the world where people are facing hardship and are facing suffering or persecution, then the reality is that we cannot be in that position. And as much as we want to be able to help people, as I've said, ultimately those efforts inevitably end up in creating more suffering and hardship. Only the Afghan people can determine the future of their country.
Yeah, let me just say something. Folks, you need to get this 10-part docuseries. You know, we wrote the first book on ISIS. We were at our center at Oxford University back in the mid 2014, 15, 16, in that period we were operating there, and we wrote a book called Rise of ISIS. It was really the first book out on ISIS. It was number one New York Times bestseller. Then we followed it up with a book on Russia, Syria, Iran, and we've been on top of this issue. We went to the International Criminal Court in The Hague, defending U.S. military interests in Afghanistan against a claim of war crimes.
Yeah, this is very much a companion piece to a lot of those books. It's sort of the next chapter. Yes. So you had Rise of ISIS, now you have Revenge of the Taliban. We didn't do that unintentionally.
Right.
Because it helps you get a better understanding of really what's happening. It's not just about isolated incidents. It's how the last 20 years has led us to this moment. Plus, how we're going to have to reshape things in the next 2, 4, 6 years and beyond. Right. With our relationship with the Middle East. I mean, you have someone like Mike Pompeo, who obviously is part of our team. I said, very few people have sat down with the Taliban. He was there.
Yeah.
So you don't get that kind of analysis pretty much anywhere else. And you know what? You're going to hear a very stark difference on the way that maybe our current administration is sitting down with the Taliban in the way that the Trump administration sat down with the Taliban, maybe with a little bit more
power,
a little more force. So you're going to hear that, a lot of that great content. Again, from a bunch of different points of view, from the people you hear on this show often to people who are all over the news, like Mike Waltz, then historically John Ashcroft or James Lankford in Oklahoma.
It was the Attorney General during 9/11 when the attack came.
Yeah, and Nikki Haley, who we haven't even talked much about.
And John has worked with us for years and years and years at our institute in Regent University.
Even with Nikki Haley, you know, we discuss even that you were doing the BDS summits with her.
So, I mean, there's,
we show some, you know,
can I say something about all that? I mean, folks, this is, I'm glad Logan brought all this up because, I mean, as you move rattling off these names of people that are associated with the ACLJ, okay, or have a relationship with the ACLJ.
Enough for us to just be able to text them, call them, and get in touch.
Okay, that's because of your support of the ACLJ. And I just want to say thank you to our donors, because without you, this doesn't happen. And as Logan said, we're in a matching challenge, so when you donate this month, you're going to get exclusive access to our Revenge of the Taliban docuseries. But again, think about it. When Logan started rattling off the names, John Ashcroft, former Attorney General of the United States, Nikki Haley, former governor, former UN ambassador, she and I worked on the BDS matters before the UN.
Can we play Nikki Haley's?
Sure.
We have about a minute. Let's play a clip from Nikki Haley before we end this half hour.
And that's been a question that has come up. The Taliban has asked, as someone who obviously was deeply involved in the UN, they've asked for UN credentials, the Taliban has, and a speaking spot. You led the United States to not officially recognize the Taliban or to provide them aid. Why would this be a mistake? Because I think some people do look at it and go, well, we have to work with them. It's the inevitability of the situation. But why would you think this would be a mistake for the U.S. and the U.N. to recognize the Taliban as a legitimate government?
Well, the U.S. should not ever want to work with the Taliban, because the Taliban is the one that allowed Al-Qaeda to make its moves on 9/11 and have over 3,000 people die because of it. When you look at these terrorist groups, they all stick together and you can't take their word for it. And I think we see that. We see that in the fact that women are no longer allowed to work in government. They've taken girls out of schools. They're doing forced marriages again. They've got dead bodies hanging in the streets to show what will happen if you don't listen to them. That's not a government we should ever want to recognize. And it's certainly not a government that you want to give money to. And when they talk about recognition at the UN, what that means is aid to the Taliban. So we don't want to give aid to the Taliban. That's just not an option that we should ever have on the table. And we should never think it's about working with the Taliban. We couldn't work with them before. We can't work with them now. It's never going to be an option. So we've got to figure out another way to get hold of this and figure out how we're going to get a fighting force there that's not Americans necessarily, but to find out an allied contingency that we can go to start getting a hold of the terrorist movements that are happening.
Again, a bunch of different opinions and a bunch of different points of views from leading experts from the war on terror, from the history of the war on terror, and people who are currently serving even right now. With that, this series is available in the month of December by donating to the ACLJ. At any donation in your receipt starting today, any receipt, you will get a link specifically to this 4-hour 10-part series. You're seeing 2-minute clips. This is an extensive 10-hour series, broken into 20, 30-minute chunks that you'll be able to watch, over the course of however long it takes you to watch it. But it's something I believe everyone should. If you did donate already, you're going to be getting a link in the next 24 hours to your email box. So don't worry. You'll be getting that as well if you donate already in the month of December. But again, that's at ACLJ.org. And coming up next segment,
Rick Grinnell, the former Director of National Intelligence, on our broadcast.
Yeah, who's also featured in the docuseries. So we'll have that coming up.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
We will fight for the right to live.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. And we've got what a jam-packed show we have. We're dealing with a horrible situation in Afghanistan where Afghan troops that were loyal to the United States are being summarily executed or what they call disappeared. And this is happening right now. Multiple countries, as Andy said earlier, and Andy quickly here, don't go through the list, but tell everybody what's happened. Multiple countries, then I want to talk about what's going on in this after-action report. But they're killing these people that helped us. Exactly what we were afraid of and exactly what the Biden administration has not prevented.
Yeah, 21 countries, including the European Union, and countries from all over the world, from Australia to the Ukraine and so forth, including the Swiss, the French, the English, and so forth, have written a statement and Human Watch in support of it, saying that these atrocities that are going on in Afghanistan are absolutely impermissible in the Afghani government. The Emirate of Afghan, the Islamic Emirate, has come back denying it, which is a lie, of course. And what I see is world opinion is turning against the Taliban because there are some countries that have joined in this that I would never have thought would have joined together in a summarily statement, including the Swiss, condemning what is going on there.
So also we've got an after-action report being done now, Wes, by our military and other experts. What does that mean for everybody, Colonel Smith?
Yeah, an after-action review is an AAR, and it's standard practice in the military that after any operation, and especially an operation that has questions about the successes and failures involved, they do an AAR, an after-action review. And so the Pentagon started doing this, began last week. It is a bit unusual because normally AARs come on immediately after the operation. Immediately, you want, while people's memories are fresh. This report, you know, is
they delayed it.
I don't know. It's 3 months in the making. Plus, there are 16 members, I think, on this after-action board. They are not releasing the names of who is on the board, which is unusual. The other thing, too, is that you have General Milley, who's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and General Austin, who's the Secretary of Defense. They both were involved in Afghanistan as commanding generals.
And they're on the committee?
No, they're not on the committee, but they're overseeing it.
Okay. Well, that tells you something. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So, you know, Harry, you said earlier, we only got a couple seconds here, that this was an abject failure of policy.
Absolutely. But I think the problem here is that this is a consistent aspect, if you will, of the Biden administration. In other words, they don't foresee problems. They don't solve problems. They are quite reactive. And with respect to Afghanistan, essentially they caved, but then they pivoted and they blamed the prior administration. Yep.
We do have a clip from our new series with Rick Grinnell, who'll be joining us in the next segment. But let's hear from Rick Grinnell again. Brand new series, Revenge of the Taliban, available with any donation to the ACLJ in the month of December.
Thousands and thousands of people who, for the last 20 years, a lot of people's whole life, we have shown them freedom. We have given them freedom. You're talking about the nation building. Whether we liked it or not, it happened. So now we're just abandoning people who have lived under at least some kind of freedom the last two decades. And it doesn't sit well with Americans. You can see it in the reaction. We don't like these imagery, and we don't take that lightly beyond even just our own people. You go, you see the people who are trying to come over to this country, and sure, they need to be vetted and make sure these people are who they say they are. But these are people who have, a lot of them have never lived under this kind of oppression. And now we're just saying, sorry, you know, our hands are up.
Now what we have, I think, are frustrated Americans watching as political timelines dictated our 20-year withdrawal from Afghanistan. We didn't do it on our timeline. We did it when the Taliban said, get out. We did it messy. We left 10% of the Americans there. Wow. And I never thought I would see a day when the President of the United States would be proud to say, I got 90% of the Americans out. But that's exactly what President Biden is saying.
All right, we'll be back in the next segment with Rick Grinnell again. That is just a small minute and a half portion of an over 4-hour series broken into 20 to 30 minute chunks with, again, some of the top leaders in our country discussing all that's happened the last few months and even the last 20 years in the war on terror. That includes Jay Sekulow, Jordan Sekulow, Mike Pompeo, Rick Grinnell, Tulsi Gabbard, Representative Mike Waltz, John Ashcroft, Senator James Lankford, Wes Smith, and Ambassador Nikki Haley. Again, that's available right now exclusively to those who donate and support at any level, any price you give, any dollar you give, you're going to get a receipt back with a link to watch it immediately. And if, again, if you've given in the month of December, you'll be getting that link still in the next 24 hours. We'll be right back with Rick Grinnell.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
To the broadcast. What a broadcast it's been. And we've talked about Afghanistan. Now we're going to talk about Russia. We've talked about the experts that are part of the team here at the ACLJ. And joining us now, of course, is our good friend and colleague, former director of national intelligence, former ambassador to Germany, former spokesperson for the United Nations, and our friend Rick Grinnell. Rick, welcome to the broadcast again, and we appreciate your expertise on this. We've been talking about Afghanistan. I'm going to get a comment from you about that, but I want to go to Russia first. You have a piece coming up on ACLJ, may already be posted right now, called Putin Knows. This is in light of the conversation yesterday between President Biden and President Putin. What's your takeaway? What are you seeing in this?
Look, I think it's really important that when we saw those pictures yesterday of President Putin sitting across the table from President Biden, we need to understand what Putin knows. What is he thinking when he looks across the table? And I try to lay it out in the piece. You know, one thing that's really important to understand is that Putin is sitting across the table looking at Joe Biden. He knows that Joe Biden spent the last 4 years telling the American people and the world that Donald Trump was a Russian asset. Putin knows that's not true. Putin knows that when President Biden says that Hunter Biden's laptop is Russian disinformation. Don't look at the laptop and all of the information filled there about the Biden family relationship with China. Putin knows that's not Russian disinformation. So he's looking at Joe Biden and knowing that he has lied to the American people in order to get into office. I don't say that lightly. Those are the facts.
This is coming from Rick Grinnell, who, if anybody would know about all of this, would be Rick Grinnell. Like I said, I want to say this again because I want to thank our ACLJ donors. Without your support, we don't have Rick Grinnell, Mike Pompeo. We still have our relationship with John Ashcroft, the attorney general during 9/11. That started almost 18 years ago. I mean, I can go on and on, but you get the idea. I mean, this is substance here that's real. Rick, let's take it a step further. We mentioned on the broadcast yesterday what you would have done in this situation. But I'm afraid if I look at what's happened in Afghanistan and the reports, you've seen them, of are the loyalists to the United States, those that work with us, are being summarily executed or, quote, disappeared by the Taliban. We've got world condemnation on that. I don't know what that ends up translating into. But you look at that. You look at Russia with Ukraine right now, China with Taiwan, and maybe nothing happens till after the Olympics. But this is it's a global, Harry Hutchinson, our director of policy. Harry, what is it, what you call it, a global failure on every policy?
that the Biden administration has botched virtually every foreign policy initiative that it's been associated with.
Yeah, so Rick, when you look at this, I mean, it doesn't, you don't have a lot of hope here. That's the problem.
Look, I think that the reality is that as Americans, we always have to have hope, and we have to look at the November election to know that we can adjust this policy. One of the great things about being a democracy is that we get to have a say every 2 years. And so, we're in November, things can change. If people get involved, we can have a drastic different direction. But I think that you're exactly right. What's happening over the last 11 months is pure chaos. Chaos at the border, chaos at the pump, chaos at our grocery stores. Inflation is out of control. Yeah. Point to one area where the Democrats and this administration have improved the situation from where Donald Trump left off. I don't think that you can point to a single one.
You know, we talked about briefly the Afghan crisis on the evacuation there. So now you have, if Russia were to launch a war with Ukraine or an invasion, which is more like it would be like, we have a lot of Americans in Ukraine. So what happens on that evacuation, Rick?
Well, look, we already know that the Biden policy is to get 90% of the Americans out, and that's good enough. Leave 10% behind. So I would say to any American who is in Ukraine, be prepared. You better be part of the 90% because your U.S. government is going to leave 10% behind and be totally comfortable with leaving 10% behind. I hate that we're having to talk about this issue and look at choices that are bad and very bad, because over the last 11 months, we've been pushed into this corner. Things should have been much different. We shouldn't have given Putin the pipeline. Everybody knows that. But let's just remember that this was Angela Merkel's major request as she left. Today starts a new government in Germany. And now Joe Biden has to deal with the Green Party in Germany being in control of the foreign ministry and the defense ministry. Mm. That is a clearly weaker government in Germany that Biden has to deal with.
You know, Andy Economou, our colleague, just left our European Center for Law and Justice last week in Strasbourg and kind of got a sense of what was going on there.
Yeah, I don't think the European allies are going to be as supportive of the president as he thinks they're going to be. In my opinion, he needs to think American and not think globally. But, Ambassador, I wanted to ask you a question. I'd asked you the other day to put yourself in Putin's head, if you could. And you kind of did in your article, Putin Knows. But you put yourself in Putin's head and give us a reaction as to what he was thinking of Biden. And you answered that question. Obama retread Jake Sullivan said, quote, "I will look you in the eye and tell you, as President Biden looked Putin in the eye and told him today, that things we did not do in 2014, we are prepared to do now." How do you evaluate that remark?
The reality is that in 2021, they didn't do it. They gave the Biden administration and Democrats in the Senate gave a pipeline to Putin. In that pipeline is not just energy, not just gas. It's leverage. And the reality is that we have to understand that Putin knows the weakness of the Europeans. And one thing I want to make clear, there's a different threat assessment that the Europeans have than what the Americans have. The Europeans do not feel threatened by Iran as much as we do. The Europeans do not feel threatened by Russia as much as we do. They should, because the rewriting of the European borders was real under Merkel and under Barack Obama and under Joe Biden as vice president. Now it could be happening again. So we need to understand that we have European allies that just don't view the world the same way. And so when Joe Biden decides to have consensus with them, makes us weaker, makes the United States much weaker.
We've got a lot of interest on our panel here. The people want to talk to you, Professor Hutchinson. Harry, what you had something for Rick?
Well, Rick, you made an interesting comment about the Europeans and our European allies and their unwillingness to depend upon the Biden administration perhaps going forward. How do you see that playing out in a number of areas, including the Nord Stream pipeline, the petroleum issue? How do you see that playing out in terms of Afghanistan, the Ukraine, etc.?
Well, one thing we have to make clear is that Germany is not the EU. Germany is a leader, and it's the largest economy in Europe, and it's important. But if we're going to have a transatlantic alliance that really works, the Biden team, the United States, always needs to understand that the EU is multifaceted. You can deal with the Eastern Europeans and get a lot more progress. Take the Nord Stream 2 issue that you point out. The Germans were really alone on that issue. The European Parliament, the European Commission, they were telling the Germans, don't do this. We need energy diversification in Europe. But the Germans ignored the rest of Europe, and Biden keeps playing to the Germans as if they're all of Europe. And we've got to be able to think differently about that. I see it's a long answer to say I see this playing out in the fact that Biden keeps wanting the Europeans to like him. He wants consensus. He wants a claps and applause from the Europeans. And they just don't view the world the same way that we do, and they should. And so maybe NATO needs to have a meeting and shake people into thinking about the threat from Russia in a different way.
Rick, let me just, we only got a minute and a half left here. One last thing, and it's kind of changing focus, and that's China. The Olympics is going on, and there's a lot of tumult right now in this. Where do you see this playing out?
Look, it's very late. We've promised the athletes to go. I don't want to pull the rug from underneath them now. I do think we need to have not just a politician and diplomat boycott. That means nothing. Right. That embarrasses the Chinese if they were prone to embarrassment, which they're not. I think it's money. You got to get corporations to stop paying.
Yep. No. And by the way, I agree. I think to pull it out from the athletes right now, I think would just be tragic for them. They've been working on this, and it's very late in the game to do that. Rick Rennell, Senior Advisor for Global Affairs and also, of course, National Security. Thank you for being with us and being part of our team. Thanks, Rick. Let me just say it again. Without the support of you folks, we don't have these experts, and we do because of your support of the ACLJ and what a difference it makes. Coming up, we've got more to discuss on this. We encourage you to share these feeds with your friends. And again, you support the work of the ACLJ. During this Matching Challenge month of December, here's what we're doing. Any donation to the ACLJ will give you an exclusive access to our latest ACLJ series, Revenge of the Taliban. It's a 10-part series that Logan hosted with some of the leading experts in the world. I mean, the Secretary of State who sat down with the Taliban. So this is the kind of caliber of what you're going to get. If you've already donated, by the way, you're going to get a link in your email. My understanding, Will, is today. We're getting into that. Yeah, so you'll get a link in your email later today if you've already donated. We're just launching this right now. So this is, it's really important, folks, for you to stay engaged in these issues. Like I said, we're doing the production on it, the video, the information. And then we were at the International Criminal Court in The Hague defending U.S. military troops as it relates to Afghanistan and a claim brought there. ACLJ.org, participate in that Matching Challenge campaign.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Jam-packed hour on this broadcast. It has been something else. By the way, today, oral arguments in the case of Carson versus the Commissioner of Maine Department of Education. It's a school choice case. And as we've been talking about international matters, let's not forget that the American Center for Law and Justice has also filed a brief at the Supreme Court of the United States on the school choice issue, which, as you know, we have been very, very involved in for literally many, many decades. We're also in our matching challenge campaign, aclj.org. Let me do this. Senator, before we get to Senator Lankford's comments, we've got our great documentary that we're launching out today. It's more than a documentary. It's a 10-part series. But we just were talking about the global aspects of all of this, and I want to get kind of everybody's analysis. Andy, you, like I said, you just came back, and despite the statements, you're not so convinced there's going to be anything behind those statements, and that's kind of what Rick was saying.
No, I don't think there's going to be anything behind them at all. I talked about they're going to have this removal of disconnect Russia from the SWIFT international payment system, potential evacuation of citizens from the Ukraine. Okay, big deal. All right, we're going to cut them off from the banking system, and we're going to evacuate and tell Americans to evacuate. And if you're lucky, you get to be part of the 90% that gets out, and unlucky if you're part of the 10% that Biden leaves behind. But I don't see anything really seriously happening. And then Jake Sullivan, the national security advisor, says, well, I'm not going to telegraph, quote, I'm not going to telegraph our punches. We're going to lay out into the Russians the details and types of measures we have in mind and coordinating with our European allies. Let me tell you what Rick Gunnell said is right. I was in Europe for 3 weeks. The European view of Russia is not the American view of Russia. They don't have that apprehensive view. They want to deal with the Russians. They want to trade with the Russians. They are not there to take Biden's stand, whatever weak stand it's going to ultimately be, because that's all he can do is be weak, because that's what he is, feckless and gutless.
All right, so I want to go to Wes Smith, Colonel Smith. We talked about the drawdown. We talked about the military implications of it. You got China now. You've got Russia and Ukraine. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is a lot happening.
There is a lot happening. The world is a far more dangerous and unstable place than it was 11 months ago.
Isn't that something?
Because, yeah, weakness invites aggression. You look at the long-term ramifications.
Say that again. People need to understand what you just said. Weakness.
Yeah, weakness invites aggression, especially when you have bullies like Vladimir Putin. And all that went on in Afghanistan, it's not over. The atrocities are continuing there. We still have Americans trapped there. And so the ramifications of weak and feckless policy by this administration, and Afghanistan is just one example of that, those ramifications include Vladimir Putin and his intentions concerning Ukraine and what he believes he can get away with. It also includes what China will likely do with Taiwan after the first of the year. And so what happened in Afghanistan and the other decisions that President Biden has made, it doesn't stop with the decision and the poor execution of something that he decided to do. It's the ongoing, long-term ramifications of this administration.
Yeah, and Harry, I was thinking about this also. I mean, Than's not with us today because he's handling some matters, as he does every day in D.C. with our office there, on a lot of issues that we're dealing with. But when you look at this situation that we're in right now, we are projecting kind of insecurity, I would say lack of stability, certainly lack of strength. And that's going to have real ramifications. It already is.
I think you're correct. And so if you look at the laundry list that you just gave us, when the Biden administration is not engaged in a commitment to spinelessness, it then shifts to engaging with incoherence. And so on one hand, the Biden administration claims that it is prepared to get tough on Russia. Why? To protect Ukrainian national sovereignty and Ukrainian border integrity. Meanwhile, the Biden administration turns a blind eye to Central American aggression in the form of immigrants who are migrants who are streaming across the U.S. border. So I don't think the Biden administration has any commitment to coherence or intelligence. And I think at the end of the day, that incentivizes our enemies. It incentivizes China, Iran, and Russia.
You know, Jay, the telegraphing of the Biden administration to Biden is also something that is picked up by to Putin, is picked up by Putin. He's not stupid. He's a very smart man. He's been in power for decades, and he's going to probably stay in power until he dies. But Victoria Nuland, who was an Obama retread and a notorious liar, made the statement to senators in a very gloomy briefing session in response to the question of what are you going to do if the Russians invade the Ukraine. And she says outright, our options are, quote, fairly limited. That's a nice telegraphing to the Russians.
This comes on the heels of the conversation yesterday where supposedly President Biden told Putin, don't do this, there'll be consequences. And then you've got the spokesperson saying, our responses will be, we have very few options. I mean, this is what is just nonsensical about this entire foreign policy matter. But look at the analysis you're getting here at the ACLJ, our global affiliates around, literally around the globe, our experts here. I mean, we have working with us. I'm saying this to say thank you to you. This is not to boast. This is to say thank you to you. John Ashcroft, who's been with us for decades, the Attorney General during 9/11, the former Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, the Director of National Intelligence, Rick Grenell. I mean, and the list goes on. In the docuseries that Logan did, Tulsi Gabbard was a Democratic candidate for President of the United States. I mean, we're going to play a clip from you right now from James Lankford, the senator from Oklahoma, who's looking at the compassionate side of those that serve with us, Afghans that serve with us in the for the United States interests to destroy the Taliban. And what's happening to them now, he had a very interesting comment. Take a listen.
I know you were one of the people who discussed taking in refugees in Oklahoma. What was your decision-making to come to that conclusion? Because look, some of the states, some other people in your own party have taken an opposite approach.
So I would say that the first thing that came to my mind was that all these different veterans of the war in Afghanistan, they came to me and said, these are folks that I know. They fought alongside of me. I know them. I know their families. These are folks that laid their life on the line. These are freedom-loving people. These are the folks that are fighting against the Taliban. These aren't terrorists. Right. These are the exact type of people that we want to advance and that we want to be able to support. And so how I came to that decision was talking to so many veterans of the war in Afghanistan and what they were saying about those individuals and how they want them to be able to get out. So that's the first part. The second part is in Oklahoma, we took in a lot of Vietnamese 48 years ago when they were fleeing during that time period. Those are thriving members of our community at this point. Very engaged. We have lots of Vietnamese churches in Oklahoma. We have lots of communities that are engaged and business people and all kinds of folks. We did this as a state 5 decades ago with the Vietnamese. We will do this again with Afghans that are coming into our country. And in Oklahoma, we'll probably have about 1,800 to 2,000 Afghans. Again, many of these refugees are not coming to America. They're coming to other countries as well. But those that do come to the United States, we need to make sure that we actually engage and that we make sure we show them, for me, the love of Christ to those individuals, but to also be able to make sure that we help them to be able to survive through this time period, a pretty amazing transition for them, not just as a country, but as a family and as an individual.
We're putting up on the screen for those watching on our social media platforms, Revenge of the Taliban. This is a tremendous docuseries that Logan and the team put together with some of the leading experts in the world. For your matching challenge gift of any amount this month, you're going to get immediately a link to that whole series, 10 episodes. I mean, this is the kind of quality that's coming out here with the leading experts. And it's a matching challenge. So if you donate that $10, you're going to get access to this, or $50, whatever it is. We're getting a matching gift for it. ACLJ.org. Do it today. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.